some interesting halacha about the laws of Sheva Brachas. Okay, everyone, Baruch Hashem, you have children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, you're going to be going to a lot of celebrations of Sheva Brachas. And what exactly are the laws of Sheva Brachas? Today there's a very big misunderstanding. People think that you have to have Sheva Brachas every single day. There's no such thing. Everyone, Hakol Moedim, there's no such thing as having a requirement to have Sheva Brachas every single day. The halacha is, if you happen to have at the table 10 people, if you happen to have at the table 10 people, when you're eating breakfast or lunch or dinner, and one of those 10 people is Padam Chadoshos, then, and you're eating also bread, you have to wash and you have bread, then it triggers an obligation to recite 7 blessings after you finish Birchas HaMazon. But you have no obligation to spend $10,000 in order to bring together the Chos and the Kala and people, and to bring Parim Chadoshos, people that did not yet participate in the wedding, in order to recite the Sheva Brachas. Again, there is no, some people feel they feel the Chos and Kala gets married, and automatically Shabbos Sheva Brachas, the Kala is going to spend $20,000 on a Shabbos Sheva Brachas, and then this cousin's going to make it on Sunday, and this friend is going to make it on Monday, and this one's going to do it on this day. Uh-oh, there's one day that's not accounted for. It's an emergency. Call the police. How could it be that there's one day of the Sheva Brachas that there's no party? There's no party. So it all worked out. We got to go to do something. You don't have to do nothing. You don't have to do nothing. You don't have to even make a Shabbos Sheva Brachas. There is no halacha. You know, people tell you, you have to get married. It's a mitzvah in the Torah. It's the first mitzvah. Peru Urivu. You have to get married. You just can't. It's an emergency. Okay.
Shabbos you wash.
What?
You wash on Shabbos.
So okay. Fine. First of all, not everyone holds you have to wash. The Shulchan Aruch Rav says you don't have to wash on Shabbos. You just need to eat anything. Peros or mezonos. You can make, you need peros. I'm not sure. Mezonos for sure. Obviously you're supposed to wash. That's the halach. The Mishnah Berurah says you must wash 2 meals. Absolutely. And Shulchan Aruch Rav is a chiddush. We'll get that a little soon. We'll discuss that soon. But basically, let's review the aside. There is no obligation whatsoever to make a su'udas sheva berachos for the chosan and the kala every single day. And in fact, years ago, probably my parents' time, they did not. They didn't, absolutely did not have sheva berachos every single night. Chosan and kala got married. They got married and they had maybe, I don't know, 2 or 3. There was maybe a Shabbos Sheva Brachas and maybe some friends. And that was it. That was it. They didn't have Sheva Brachas every single day. It's Mishugas. It's Mishugas. You have to have Sheva Brachas every single day. Chag v'layavar. And sometimes even twice a day. And it's not, first of all, that's not wrong. Cause it does say the place is Alpi Kabbalah. You should have every single day twice. Two Sheva Brachas. That's a little bit over the top. Okay, we don't, even the people that do have every single day, I highly doubt every single person has twice a day Sheva Brachas. That's really over the top. But it is cited in some of these Sfarim that, oh, that's the ideal thing to do twice a day to have Sheva Brachas. But the halacha is you're not even mechuyif to have it at all. And there's no one that disagrees with this halacha, this principle. And in fact, the Chassam Sofer, he says something very chesed, Chassam Sofer in Pressburg, he held They did not ever have Sheva Brachas. Not even when you had a meal. Even when you had a meal, there were 10 people, and they benched, and they were Panim Chadoshos, by the Chassam Sofer, they did not recite they did not recite Sheva Brachas. I'll read you what it says over here. It's a shocking thing for people in this generation to hear such a thing. Uveshut Chasam Sofer Shekosa B'toich Dvorov B'zeh HaLoshon. He writes in his words, these words, Miyomai, in my day, Loi Shomanu V'loi Ro'inu B'Frankfurt de Main. Okay, in Frankfurt. Even though later on he went on to Pressburg, but in Frankfurt, Shebaruchu miyom sheni ve'eluch shum brocha. I never heard, I never saw. Would you believe this? The Chasam Sofer is Kodesh Kodashim. The whole, everything we have today is from the Chasam Sofer. They were on his kever. Mi Moshe v'yad Moshe lekom k'moshe. Okay, the Chasam Sofer was one of a kind. Chasam Sofer is not real who the Chasam Sofer was. The Gadol Hadar, everything, and there's no such thing. Rock, and he writes a Maisa Shehoya. Rock, it once happened, Pamachas one time, Baruch Hu Besudas Shabbos Zayin Brachas, there was a Maisa Shehoya, where they had a Shabbos Sheva Brachas, and they made it the Shabbos Sheva Brachas, the seven blessings. They passed around the kois. They passed around the kois, like we do today, all like Maisa Mechol Yom. They passed around the kois. Why? Because there was a Rav there, and the Rav gave a clap on the table and says, Sheva Brachas! Shabbos, you have to make the Sheva Brachas. You have a Chosan Kala here, and you have some people over here. You got to make the Sheva Brachas. And the rabbi passed, and that's what you got to go do. V'lohas alav kol ha-medina. He was a laughing stock. They wrote him up in the paper the next day. He was online, and all the blogs that this rabbi, who was Mechadesh in Frankfurt, that they said on Shabbos, Sheva Brachas. Unheard of. Scandalous. Ad kadei kach. The Chasam Sofer writes this. Well, if Chasam Sofer came to Flatbush, he would be in for a big surprise. Okay? Because the minhag over here, unfortunately, has gotten a little out of hand. And not only do you have Sheva Brachas, the people go out of their way, they go out of their way to make sure there is a Sheva Brachas. By the way, I'm not being nice. I really want to take a step back. I want to take a step back. First of all, who am I to say? Okay? I never experienced it. If I experienced what it was like, maybe I would have a different attitude. Shamati, I heard this and I read up on this. We once had this discussion about Corona. I once told you something which appears to be probably not 100% accurate. I opened up my big mouth and I told you that I heard from experts. I know two people told this to me. Two people that I respect very, very much. They're much older than me and they're chosh of a people. And they told me that people that got married, engaged, during Corona, still going on, some of them got divorced, young couples, or their marriages are not what they should be. I told you this because they told it to me, and I believe them because they're respectable people. There was a very, very elaborate write-up about this exact topic in Mishpacha magazine, which doesn't prove anything because Mishpacha magazine a lot of things they write there end up being totally false also. But they interviewed Rabbonim, who are known to be the go-to people for Shalom Bayis problems, and marriage counselors from the Frum community, who are the big names, so people they're used by many of people, and they said it's a lie. It's a total lie. People who have gotten married during this time, no one got divorced because of Corona. Anyone who got divorced during this time would have anyway gotten divorced, even if there wasn't Corona. And people who are by this marriage counselor, it's just that being by the marriage is that during Corona, the acceleration of getting to know who you married, what normally takes years, it can normally take years to learn who you really married. Today, it only takes a couple of weeks. Because ordinarily, when the chos and kala get married, the next day they're out of the house. This one goes here, this one goes there, and they can fake out each other who they really are. The girl thinks she married the gadol hadar. And it takes maybe 2 years to realize, guess what? My husband is not the gadol hadar. And he never will be the gadol hadar. But you know what? He's okay. Even though he's not the gadol hadar, I like him enough, I'll stay married to him. Today, that normally takes about 2 years. You have a young girl, 18-year-old girl, doesn't know what she's getting into, and she's told that she's marrying the gadol hadar. It takes her maybe, let's say, 2 years to figure out that he's not the gadol hadar. In Corona, it took 2 weeks to figure that out. Because when you're locked up with your spouse in the house and you see what really goes on, it only takes 2 weeks. So all the problems that anyway would be problems were just accelerated. And the same way ordinarily many of these problems work their way out, they worked out, so they would get to be worked out just the same. So in this article, the Mishpacha magazine, they discussed this. Everyone is saying, the people who got married during Corona, they got divorced, or their marriages are on the rocks, and they said it's sheker. And they went and they had these very elaborate interviews with the Rabbanim and the psychologists. All right, you take it what it is. I have no idea. I'm just telling you that one thing though I did hear, which I think is definitely true, and everyone says this, there's no argument about this point, and that is the people who got married during Corona, many of them did not have Sheva Brachos. Or the Sheva Brachos were severely limited. And people discover, I heard this from people. No, everyone says this is true. And it never dawned upon me that such a reality can even be true. It never dawned upon me such a thing. And I don't think a lot of people have really thought about this, but it really goes to show how careful you have to be. What I'm saying is follows. During Sheva Brachos, you go to Sheva Brachos. So, you know, all different types of Sheva Brachos. Some of them are just silly. Some of them are mechoshev. Usually, if you have a couple gets married, you'll have during the week, you'll have at least one or two serious Sheva Brachos. And you'll have some good speakers.
I mean,
it's not like some of them make these games. They do foolish things, something, you know, you're something like babyish sometimes. Everyone here has been to many Sheva Brachos, and all of you know, sometimes they're serious, they're choshev. The food, okay, sometimes it's choshev, sometimes it's silly. And what I mean by choshev is, you'll have a certain setting of seriousness, and you'll have a good speaker. And the speaker will say very nice things about the chassan, or about the kala, or about the family of the chassan, the family of the kala. So many of us, we sit there and we listen, leave me alone. Exaggerations and, you know, who's really interested. But, you know, the chost and the kala, they're listening. And you'd really be surprised that the things that are said make a difference. When you say something nice about the chost and kala, even though to the audience, to them, it doesn't mean much. But, you know, I never realized this. It really does mean a lot, even though they may not show it. It may not appear. When someone says nice things about the chosn kala, a little covered, it goes a very long way. Especially at this very delicate time when they're getting married. And this is something that Corona has created an awareness that most people, certainly not me, never ever appreciated. That the Sheva Brachos, the praise that is bestowed upon the Chas and Kala at the Sheva Brachos and their family, it solidifies the marriage. It solidifies the marriage not just for the Chas and Kala, for the families. The families here, one family here is about the other family. I know I went to Sheva Brachos very recently, and the Kala side, the father of the Kala told me, he literally knew nothing about the Chassan's family. He knew the Chassan is a good family. The Chassan is a good boy. The family was okay, whatever. He made his investigation. He didn't discover any skeletons, any scandals. It's good enough. It's very hard to do a shidduch. He's very happy, got a good boy. The boy's a very good boy. Everything checks out. The family seems okay, but he doesn't really know anything about the family. And at the Sheva Brachos, he learned incredible things about the family of his son-in-law and about the son-in-law also. Like things that he never knew anything. And it's very clear to me, speaking to him, he now has a whole new appreciation of the family. And that goes a very long way in going forward, in dealing with his son-in-law, and dealing with their family. That is what happens. This is Maisim B'chol Yom. You can do all the checking, all this and all that, at the Sheva Brachos, there is something which is created, which helps very much solidify a marriage. And during Corona, all of this was cut out to a very large degree. And many people have come back and said, you know something? There's a problem. There's something missing. And many people couldn't put their finger on what's missing. And finally, it became clear what's missing is there were no Sheva Brachas. Because the Sheva Brachas, they somehow, like you never, things in life you never would expect. Certain things in life, you know how it goes. You know, the run of the mill, you know. And there's certain things like, I never imagined you take away this and everything collapses. You never imagine. There are a lot of pieces of the puzzle. You don't really know what is the glue that holds everything together. So Sheva Brachas is something which is really serious. Where I'm now coming along and I'm saying, oh, you don't have to make sure it's ridiculous, or waste the money. They go spend crazy amounts of money, and everyone, they make parties every single day. And in Halacha, there's no such thing. There's no such thing to make a halacha that you have to make Sheva Brachas every single day. My parents, I don't even know if they had one Sheva Brachas. They got married, they probably had Shabbos Shabbos. What do they have? They had maybe one Sheva Brachas. And that was it. Today, every single day. It's true. In halacha, you don't have to do it. But obviously, if it's done, we now know because of Corona, it does make a difference. It's not a small thing, especially when it's done right. It is just cheap. You know, it's just silly, it's foolish. What?
We are conditioned by customs.
Why are we conditioned?
To do it.
Many people can't afford to do it. Right, but many people can afford. What? Okay, right. So all different types. But it's not. You know, it's not everyone has big families. Not everyone has friends. It's in a chanami. The minig is beautiful, and that's why it's so important. But the first halach is there is no chiv. Okay, now let's. Now, the Chassam Sofer. This is the fascinating Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer says in Frankfurt they did not ever make the brachos. They never did it. And if people that came together for a meal, they never made the brachos.
Why not?
Not even on Shabbos. So he explains why. He says over here, Dover Pella Ad Ma'oi, because what's the Sheva Brachos all about? When you make the Rishus. What's the Nusach he say? Rishus, Rabbi Sai Nivarech, He Shem Hashem Nivarech Me'atovil Rishus, Ranon Rabbi Rasai Nivarech Elokeinu, Shehasimcha bim oinoi. The joy is in Hashem's abode. Shehasimcha bim oinoi, v'sheochalnu misheloi uvituvo chayinu. The Chassam Sofer says today there's no simcha bim oinoi. Don't kid yourself. We are in Golos. And not only are we in Golos, we are in a lot of trouble. We're going nowhere fast. And he writes over here, Mishum de Choshishu al Sheba'avonosenu Horabim, due to the multitude of our sins.
No wonder it was a Yeki Minhag.
What?
Shasim
Chabimoinoi, so?
Because they're downers.
What's the problem? Baruch Elokeinu Shasimcha b'me'oinoi v'shachalnu mi'shlov t'vochayinu. That's what you say when you say Shabbat. You say Shasimcha b'me'oinoi. What Simcha b'me'oinoi? There's no Simcha b'me'oinoi today. We're in Golos. Grois Tzaras we're in today. We got big problems.
May I point out that the origin of Shabbat, right, we learn it from
Rivka.
Yaakov.
Yes.
And that was in Golis, and that was in not the happiest place on earth either at that time.
So Michal is asking that we have to go back to the source. What is the source of Sheva Brachas? The answer is Rivka. Vayvaruchu Lavan gave a blessing. Vayvaruchu. Rachel and Leah. No. That's the wedding. That's the wedding. Male Shavua Zois. Okay, there are different sources. The Gemara Masechta. Male Shavua Zois. No, all that means Male Shavua Zois is that you're not allowed to go to work. And that a chosan Male Shavua Zois just means that the chosan has an obligation to spend 7 days with the scholar and not be distracted. Okay, not be distracted. Women want the full attention. The biggest insult you can get, you go on a date. I got this insult. The biggest insult you can get is the shotgun calls you up and says, the girl said that you were very bored. That's the worst thing you can say. That's the biggest insult. The
now
girl
saying,
said that you were bored.
Being together because of
you were bored.
Now,
you were bored. So during the 7 days, the Shiva Simei Mishnah, the 7 days after marriage, you're supposed to not be bored. You're supposed to spend time with the Kala to show that you're not bored. Right? So that's all it says. Shas Simcha, Shas Simcha Bima Oinai. Okay.
Give me a chance to let me get together.
What?
It does say that you don't have a position without Sheva
Brachas,
oh, that's at the
chuppah,
not afterwards.
Okay, the Makar for Sheva
Brachas
comes from a Gemara Masechta Ksubis. Okay, the Gemara Masechta Ksubis says, Mevarchim Birchas Chasanim Be'asara Kol Sheva, it's a Gemara, all 7 days. Amar Yehuda Vuhu Shebohu, there's a condition. Shebohu Ponim Chadoshes. When you make the blessings the 7 days, there must be a new Darga of Simcha. What is the new Darga of Simcha? V'ushaba'u panim chadoshes. There has to be panim chadoshes. And the Gemara Masechta says, minayin lebirchas chasanim in atorah shnemar vayivoruchu es rivka vayoymru lo achoseinu at heyei la'alfei rivava v'yirash zarech es shahar soinav. May you be our sister. May you be the Alfei Rivavo. May you be the mother of tens of thousands. Alfei is 1,000. Rivavo means 10,000. The Yirash Sarech. May your seed inherit Eshar Soinav. That is a Gemara. It's a Gemara Masechta Ksubis. The Gemara says it's a Makar that you have to have 7 days during the 7 days of Mishneh. You make brachas, blessings. Vayivorechu. Now, the Pasuk doesn't say 7 blessings, but a Chazal learned, and there's a big question, the Pasuk is it the Araisa, or is it Midrabal? We're going to discuss in these few moments, but this is where it all starts. It starts with this piece of Gemara, that Vayivaruchu es Rivka, they bless Rivka. So, Ramchol is asking the question, how can you say there's no Simcha, that in Golos, you can't say Shas Simcha v'mo'enoi, Yaakov Avinu, where did this
Yitzchak
take place? Yitzchak and Rivka. Yitzchak and Rivka, where did this take place? In the house of Lavan. Lavan was in Chutz
L'Aretz.
Alright. Whatever it is. Okay, we'll leave with that. Okay, we'll come to that in a few moments. Right. So this, therefore now, there's another condition. And the other condition, so therefore, this is the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer makes the statement and says that, Bizman Hazeh, because of the tzoros that we find ourselves in, it's not kedai to say these blessings because a precondition that you should make the bracha shev brachas, there has to be a matzav of simcha. And if you find yourself in a matzav when there is no simcha, it's not proper to make these blessings. There has to be an element of simcha. It's very interesting. The Chasam Sofer felt that just being gaulus is a lack of simcha. So we do not accept this today. Today we make shev brachas without even a blink of an eye. But I wonder that during Corona, during a time when Klal Yisrael is suffering, this is what I wonder. I wonder if you could extend this principle to the Chasam Sofer, that since he says that Golus is Zman of, there's no Simcha B'Mo'ina, so never do it. Again, we reject that. We do make Sheva Brachas Ma'isim Mechol Yom. But what about, let's go back during the time of the height of Corona, during those 3 months, when literally every single day, people were going like flies. Go on the news, Gedolei Yisrael, rabbonim, leaders, even ordinary people, and there's no such thing as an ordinary person in Klal Yisrael. People were dying, people were sick, people were on ventilators, people were on oxygen, gasping for air. It's a time to say Shasimcha b'mo'inoi. Really? Maybe in Echonami, maybe you can have a party, you have to get married. It's a mitzvah to get married. So mitzvahs you have to do. Life goes on. Life goes on no matter what. Get married, people got married in the concentration camps.
What about people today? I mean, to help in this question, who are in the midst of their Rachmana L'Shlan, their Shiva, Shlomo?
Oh, so Mark is asking a great question. Let's say a person, well, the person is sitting Shiva. So I don't think there is Shiva Brachas when you're sitting Shiva. I don't know the details. There are definitely laws that deal with this that it could be. So in Echonami, is there such a limitation? I don't know. You have not heard of such a thing. Today people, there have been already a few very good Svarim, Kuntresim and Svarim, dealing with all of the new, unique Shilas of Corona. Okay? There are a lot of interesting Shilas that have come up because of Corona, all the Heterim, and I really believe this will be a great, should be, I don't know if it is, I actually saw yesterday, I go to the Svarim blog every single day, not every single day, but to see all the new stuff. The guy who runs it is a young guy, he's a young kid. He just started law school, and I wonder if he's going to be able to continue doing what he's doing because he's going to be very busy now. But he has this blog where he puts up every single day news from someone just put out another sefer dealing with all of the unique shaylas that have come up during Corona. And I think this is a very good topic. That can you really make a bracha shasimcha b'mo'inoi during a time of a pandemic? Can you really say that it's a zman of simcha? Getting married is getting married. That's a mitzvah. Life goes on. But Sheva Brachas has a very unique, oh, did I unmute someone by mistake? I'm sorry if I muted someone by mistake there. I'm sorry. 8318, sorry, I muted you by mistake. But when it comes to Shasimcha, can you really make that bracha? Verbic Shaila. Okay, there's another reason why some want to say that we should not make the bracha shasimcha b'mani b'zman hazeh. We should not make shev brachas b'zman hazeh. And that's because it says in Shulchan Aruch there has to be panim chadoshes. Panim chadoshes.
Rabbi Levine,
yes.
If shev brachas falls out during a kind of sebor, we say that the individual simcha does not override the sebor's problems. So we don't have shev brachas.
Well, during a tinus, you don't have a suda altogether because the people can't eat, but
yeah, but it's the individual simcha versus the community's issue.
Right, exactly. Right,
the community overrides.
But there, there's something more practical because there people are just not eating. That's just one element. But let's say people are now eating and there's a minyan, there are 10 people, and now we have a question, should we make the Sheva Brachas? Making the Sheva Brachas demands there be an intense level of simcha. Can you really say that there is an intense level of simcha when the community is suffering? You know, getting married is one thing. People got married in the concentration camps. They got in the DP camps. But can you really still make the bracha have Sheva Brachas? And start off the benching with Shasimcha b'mo'inoi when people are suffering, and then proceed to make 7 blessings of Simcha? Not so simple. You see, the Chasam Sofer says the answer is no. So even though today we don't accept that in our generation, but during exceptional times like the times that we've been whether we are now, you can say it's still going on now. Now is it really any different now? I guess it is. People, Baruch Hashem, have stopped dying to a large degree. But you know, this is not so simple. People are in Avelos. You know, the Avelos goes on for a whole year. Why don't we say that the tsar of Corona will go on for a whole year because of the Avelos goes on for the entire year for all the people who died. Okay, now there's another problem. The other problem is the Mechaber. The Mechaber severely limits the ability to say Sheva Brachas. He says you have to have Panim, this is the Gemara, Panim Chadoshes. How many people are considered to be Panim Chadoshes? Well, the literal translation of the words of the Gemara are ponim. Ponim is b'loshon rabin. Two people. Like today. Today we have Mark and Mike. Two M's. M&M. The M&M's have arrived today in the shir. We should give out to everyone M&M's. Mark and Mike. Mike and Mark are here. Two people. Today we have here in the Young Israel
Midwest.
Are they
maskers?
They're both. One is wearing a mask and one is in violation. I'm not going to tell you who is who. Okay. So we have here. We have over here. Ponim Chadoshois. We have here. Shalom Aleichem. Harwitz. Shalom Aleichem. How are you? Thank you very much for everything. The manager of the shul is over here. Baruch Harwitz is here. Rabbi Harwitz, your son. Rabbi Baruch Harwitz, your son is Shui is here. Shui.
Yeshua
Simcha come. Your father wants to say hello to you. He's on the screen. Your father is on the screen right here. You see that? You see your son is wearing a mask. You see he's good.
Yeah, he's.
Morning.
He takes it seriously.
Yes. Okay. So we have ponim. We have here today in the shul ponim chadoshos. Two people. That's lechatchila. Today, that's not acceptable halacha. Today, the olam is mekel. Even one person is sufficient. Even one person who did not participate at the wedding is there. That's enough in order to make the seven blessings. Now, next question, next problem. The mechaber says the person who was there needs to be an odom mechubad. That for this person, you would ordinarily bring out special food just if he comes to the house. Okay? So let's say a big rabbi, let's say the chief rabbi of Israel comes to your home. You're not going to put out on the table some fruit, even if he's not going to eat it. Right? If an Adam Mechubad comes to your home, you put down on the table food, l'chavoydoi. If you get a delivery from Moshe's and the guy comes into the house, do you put out for the delivery man food? Oh, an Adam Mechubad, you put on your suit, you put on your Sunday best. when the delivery man, they come to check the meter, right? They come to check the gas meter. Oh, an Adam Mechubad, you first put on your suit and your tie. And your strimal, come, sit down, you give him a whole meal. Do you do that when the guy who comes to check the meter? You don't do that. So the Mechaber says, in order for it to be called Panim Chadoshes, with Simcha, it must be an Adam Mechubad. So today...
Jew or Gentile?
What?
Jew or Gentile?
Oh, he's asking a very good question. He's asking a question which I didn't see anyone discuss. I didn't see this question. I didn't really spend all that much time going through all the sermon. I had a limited swarm on this, but I spent time preparing. Mark is asking about a guy. Let's say Trump comes to the Sheva Brachas.
His daughter.
Okay, it's probably no Gehalacha L'maisa. Okay, Trump's Ivanka. She'll make a simcha. And they'll have Sheva Brachas. And we'll show them by the wedding, Mastama, right? By the wedding. But let's say, Lu Yitzuya, you'll have a
Actually, there have been two Orthodox weddings. One in the White House and one at Mar-a-Lago.
Two Orthodox weddings?
Yes, staffers.
Wow, two staffers. The first time in history? They sanctified the White House with a Jewish wedding?
I'm aware of, yeah.
Okay, but let's say you have a non-Jew who comes to the Sheva Brachas, and he's an Adam Mechubad. Is that enough to make the Bracha? I don't know the answer. I did not see the question asked. I would assume the answer is no.
Really?
I would assume no. Because an Adam Mechubad, the starting point is to be a Jew. I'm assuming. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. It's a good question.
But a Melech from the Amim.
So Melech, but does that, I don't know, I hear it's a very good question. I really don't know the answer. I don't know, it's a good question. It's a very good question. So the Mechaber says, Yesh oimim she'enom nikroim panim chadoshas ele'im kein heim b'nei odom shemarbim bishvilom. You would ordinarily be mimarbe bishvilom. And the Achroin, now, Okay, you would have special food for this person. This person is here. We don't have the ordinary menu. We bring out special food on an ordinary day. So now when they come to the Sheva Brachos, oh, that shows they're being marbes simcha. That two, can you imagine, we have the two of them. Ponim chadoshes, two such people. It's very hard to get such two types of people to come to every Sheva Brachos. Obviously, the Ramah, we don't do that. That's the Mechaber, the Ramah's Megal, anyone. And you know where it happens? It's very, very often this happens. You have a Sheva Brachos, and you realize, especially in these very big families, and the very, very big, you know, sometimes, everyone already was there already once. So who's the Panim Chadoshes? The waiter. The waiter. He's not even Shomer Shabbos, but he wasn't by the wedding. So he's the Panim Chadoshes. Really? Really? Is that really enough to make him into the Panim Chadoshes? People do this all the time. This is not unheard of to make the waiter the Panim Chadoshes when the waiter is not even Shomer Shabbos. I'm assuming he's Jewish. So is that really maybe a little bit going a little bit too far? Okay, so this is...
How do you impose obligations on something which is optional to begin with?
Well, what's only optional is only you don't have to go out of your way to arrange a minyan. To daven shachris, it's not optional. You have to go out of your way to collect 10 people to make a minyan for shachris every single day.
Right, but we're not particular in that case.
We're not, that's davening, of course. Davening just need 10 bodies. But when it comes to Sheva Brachos, you have absolutely no obligation, zero, to collect 10 people in order that we can make a meal and bench and recite the 7 blessings. The 7 blessings only kick in if you happen to have 10 people sitting together, eating food and benching, and the Chos and Kal are present, and in this assembly, there's a person that was not present before in the other meals of the wedding, and he adds joy, an additional element of joy. Or, and also by another very important question, does this meal have to be arranged specifically in honor of the Chosn Kala? Let's say you're in a hotel, or let's say you're in camp, and they anyway have supper. You go to a camp, right, and they anyway have dinner, and there are 10 people there. If the Chos and Kala didn't show up, anyway they would serve the same dinner. You can't tell them this meal was not arranged specifically for the Chos and the Kala. No, that's not called Sheva Brachos. In order to be obligated in the midst of Sheva Brachos, the simple understanding is the meal has to have been designated specifically for the Chos and the Kala. In addition, there should be Panim Chadoshes. According to the letter of the law, Panim Chadoshes means two people, and two people which are choshuv, that you'll be marbe b'shvilam. Today, we're extremely lenient. Today, you don't need two people, one person is enough. And the person does not need to be an Adam Mechubad, as long as he was not present, as long as, it's like it became like a technical science, as long as he was not present at the wedding or any other part of the celebration, he counts. Now, here's another big question.
Rabbi, some hotels, you go up there, you go up with 8 people, and they combine other 2 people.
Right. That's what we do today. We just take people off the street. You take people off the street, and you make them into the Panim Chadoshes. But that's what we do today. We're extremely lenient in this matter. Now, next question. This is very common. You come to Sheva Brachos. You just come to say Mazel Tov. I'm not going to spend the whole night at the Sheva Brachos, but I don't want to insult my neighbor. So he tells me to come. So I come, I show up the last 5 minutes. I did not wash. I show up. Oh, you're here. We're giving you one of the brachas. Are you allowed to take a bracha if you did not participate in the meal? So the answer is, one thing is for sure, you don't need to wash.
Right.
That's a given. You do not need to wash to eat bread. Even though the only time you say the Sheva Brachos is after Birchas HaMazon. Let me take a step back. Let's say you have a cocktail. You have a Sheva Brachos and there's no bread. Everyone's on a diet. no bread is served. No one, like a smorgasbord. What do you mean, like, what do you mean? You can't eat bread because you're allergic, right? Yeah. But let's say you have a Sheva Brachas where it's like a buffet. You come, a little party, a little dancing, a little, whatever they do. And it's not like a sit down meal where you sit down and you wash for bread. Nobody has washed. People ate mizonos. There's no Sheva Brachas. Sheva Brachas is only recited at the conclusion of Birchas Hamazon. However, once there are 10 people who have joined together and are reciting Birchas Hamazon, and now the benching is over, and now we're going to say the 7 blessings, it is permitted to give the blessings to people who did not wash for bread. That is a given. We separate the recital, that's the halacha, that's the way the place can explain the halacha. We separate the recital of the 7 blessings from the actual benching. The benching is a trigger to be obligated in reciting 7 blessings. But the ones who now recite the 7 blessings do not actually need to have benched in order to make the blessing. They don't need to do that. Do they even need to eat? Not necessarily. Not even to eat. Obviously, it would be ideal if they would at least eat something. If they would at least eat something, take a drink or eat something, then they would at least participate in the meal to a certain degree. But it does not appear that they even need to eat anything. As long as there were other 10 people who triggered the obligation to recite the Birchas Hamazon, and now this Birchas Hamazon requires 7 blessings, so then anyone can say the 7 blessings, even a person that did not participate, did not bench. Okay, another halacha, the chassan under no condition should recite the brachas. The chassan, the brachas are in honor of the chassan and kala, and therefore the Rambam, there's a truth from the Rabbi Avraham ben Harambam, and he says that his father was very, gave a lot of mussar. He used to, I guess in his day, there were people who did not know this halacha, and the chassan himself would make the blessings. So the Rambam, Avraham ben Harambam, a lot of stuff coming out, is coming to life. Rabbi Avraham ben Harambam, and he writes, I'll read what he says over here. Oid yitzuyun b'inyin shebrachas, the Bereish Sefer Maaseh Rokeach. The Sefer called Maaseh Rokeach L'Rambam, Hevi Miksav Yad. Kisva Yad, a manuscript, Rabbi Avraham Binoy Shel HaRambam, Shein Roy Sheyavarech HaChosan HaBrachas Li'atzmai, V'zel L'shoinai. This is a quote from Rabbi Avraham in HaRambam. Haminik HaPoshut, Sheyvarech Elu Hazain Brachos Hagodol Shenimtzoim Sham. He writes something very interesting. The minog in his day of the Rambam, we're going back what 800 years, was that one person said all of the blessings. Who? The Gadol, the most chosh of a person, said all the blessings. The Ein Roy Sheyvarech Oisam Achasan, the Chasan should not bless them, make them. While if Yishehem Bracha Loi, these are blessings. This is what the Rambam's son writes. They are blessings for him. They're blessing him. The Ein Roy Sheyvarech Adam Bracha Kizula Atzma. You don't bless yourself. No one says to you, "Oh, I give myself a bracha." That's ridiculous. That's not the way it goes. You don't give yourself a bracha. The brachas are for the Chasan. The Chazeh Hutak Mishem, he continues. Yivarech Oisi. So Mark is asking a very good question, that in the Birchas HaMazon, we say the Harachamons, we do say Harachamon who Yivarech Oisi, V'yas Ishti, V'yas Bonai, you do say Oisi, you do bless yourself. Harachamon who Yivarech, it's not necessary, no, it's not the same thing. Because you're not blessing yourself. You're asking Hashem that Hashem should bless you. Harachem on hu yivorech, may he bless me. You're asking Hashem should bless me. Here it's a blessing from you. Moshe Rabbeinu, he said, Moshe, Yosef Hashem Alechem Kochem Elef Panim, Vivorich Eschem Kasher Diber Lochem. There is such a thing where you give a bracha. It's a very powerful, this Rabbi Aaron Rambam is a very powerful chiddush. You have to really dwell upon to appreciate what he says over here. Is that when you get a bracha, by the, when someone comes and they honor you, you come to the Sheva Brachas, and they honor you with a bracha, you're not just saying a bracha. You're not saying, okay, I'm saying words in the Siddur, I'm Ishamea Ko'ineh, it's like Davin Chazores Hashatz. When you Davin Chazores Hashatz, it's nothing personal. What is Chazores Hashatz? There's a Shemone Esrei, you read the Shemone Esrei, you pray to Hashem, one person reads it, but it's on behalf of the entire Tzibur. It's nothing about me. Of course, you have a better Baal Tzvila, more Kavanah, v'chulu. Sheva Brachos is very, very unique. I challenge you to find me any other area in Halacha that is anything similar to this, where the person who makes the Bracha, it's almost like a personal Bracha. And the proof is, that's why the Chosan cannot make the brachas. You don't bless yourself. I'm not blessing myself. I'm asking Hashem to bless me. No. Obviously that's not the case. Obviously that's not the way we view it. The way we view it is that you are part of the blessing. Of course, Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Yotzer Ha'adam Asher Bara Sasa V'Sim. Of course, Hashem's name. But obviously, from the words of Rabbi Avraham ben Arambam, who emphasized that the name of his father it is incorrect for the Chassan, it goes to show that there's a personal element. So when you select people out of Sher Brachas to give the Birchas Sher Brachas, it means you hold from them. I want your blessing. You hold from them. It's a very big covet. It's an incredible covet to get a bracha by Sher Brachas. Where else do you have such a thing where I can't make the bracha for myself? I need someone to bless me. Where do you have such a thing? Where do you, Chazor Sash, davening? What? Okay, you're saying, so also similar. It's the Kohanim that are giving the bracha. You're right. Okay, you're saying very good.
God bless themselves.
You're saying very good. There's a whole shah there also. What exactly is the nature of Birchas Kohanim? Is it that the Kohanim are bull as a chakira, big chakira? Is it that the Kohanim are giving bracha, or is it they just the conduit, the conduit? But no, Rav Kalman is right. Some of the poskim hold that no, it's not. They're a conduit. That they're two mahalchem. There is an element of the Kohanim themselves have a koyach. They have a koyach to give a personal bracha. So you're right, you do have a precedent. I asked you for a challenge and I got my answer. You do have such a principle. So you become like a koyein. A person by Sher Brachas Yisrael becomes a koyein when they mechabit him to make one of the seven blessings. You're showing that you're whole of these people. Even by a wedding, you know, you make the Sher Brachas under the chuppah also. You make the Sher Brachas until there you call out the big heavy guns. There you call out this Rosh Hashiva, that Rosh Hashiva. And there's a lot of covet involved. You know, get very insulted. Now, by the way, Rabbi Yisrael, today when they do an Eretz Yisrael, it's a very beautiful thing. It's a relatively speaking new minhag, and hopefully, like a lot of these minhagim, it will come to America very soon. And this is how they make weddings in Israel. This became very, very popular. Let me take a step back. American wedding. America, we love America. Come to America. You go to an American wedding, you call for the chuppah, the chuppah is an hour late, okay, then finally schlep out the chuppah, it's over, then you wait forever, forever, forever until they finish taking pictures, the chassan comes in, okay, they have dancing, a second dance. By the time they get to the Sheva Brachos, no one is there. Everyone is gone. Gone with the wind. So that's terrible. That's a chaval. That's a chaval, because the Sher Brachas is very chashul. In Eretz Yisrael, it's the same problem. So what do they do in Eretz Yisrael? This is what they do in Eretz Yisrael. They have the first dance. The second the first dance is over, most people stay for the first dance, right? Most people stay for the first dance. And after the first dance is over, they march to Chas and Kala, you know, all these boys, they march to Chas and Kala to the front table, to their seat. And what do? Lebersai Nevarech. I don't know how the Chas and Kala, I guess they also must have eaten something. Maybe in the Yichud room they ate something, they washed, they must have washed in order to do this. Lebersai Nevarech. They did not yet even serve the main course. They just serve the appetizer. And they immediately bench after the first dance. Rabbi Sai Nivarech, everyone sits down because everyone is there. And what?
Why can't they do it before the dance?
I guess that's a big brachash, and it's because that's already, there's no simcha. It's already, there's no time reading that. Immediately after the first dance, before they bring out the main course, they bench. Everyone sits down, mechubad, harav, hagoin, with the first bracha of shev brachas. It becomes a big kibud. Now it becomes, instead of giving the shev brachas to the 13-year-old third cousin, now you're sitting there, all the runner-ups, all of the Rashi yeshiva who you insulted by not giving a kibud under the chuppah. So now you give them chubir, raf, hagoin, hagoin, ho'adir, you give them this bracha and that bracha, and that way you make sheva brachas great again. Okay? And let's make sheva brachas great again. Okay?
They serve the whole meal.
The whole meal?
Then you have the dance, and then you get
the... Okay, so the Chas and Kal already ate. The Chas already ate bread. I guess they have to make sure. And they make the Sheva Brachas. This is a new minhag. They're not so new anymore. They're doing this in Eretz Yisrael. And when I was there, I went about a year and a half ago to Eretz Yisrael to the wedding of my niece, and that's what they did. And I was amazed. It wasn't a small wedding. It wasn't like a big wedding anyway. It was a small wedding, but that's what they did. And it was very dignified. I was like, wow. It's so chashav. Like the Sheva Brachas was like a chuppah almost. Unlike in America where the Sheva Brachas? Who ever heard of Sheva Brachas by a wedding? Whoever heard? Who's still around at that point in time?
Close family,
okay, but it's not, but that's, you're missing out the whole time. The Seuda demands Sheva Brachas. Ad Kidei Kach, this is a very big topic, a very big Shaila. Are you allowed to leave? Think about this. You go to a wedding. Now, this is another big Chakir in the laws of Sheva Brachas. You go to a wedding, and you wash, like you should. You're supposed to wash, like a mensch, you make a bracha, a moitzi, you eat bread. Now, I'm not sticking around for Sheva Brachas. Mm-hmm. I got a job tomorrow. I got to be up tomorrow at 6:00. It's now 10:00. I got to get out of here fast. I'm not sitting around over here. I got to get out of here. ASAP. Wait a minute. The guy next to you says, Halacha! Halacha! You're not allowed to leave. You washed. You're sitting here at a meal that's in honor of a Chas and Kala. You have an obligation to answer Amen to 7 blessings. You can leave, just like you wouldn't fathom to skip Ma'ariv. You wouldn't fathom to skip a Mincha, a Shachris. You wouldn't miss a Kiddush Levana. You wouldn't miss even Tashlich. You wouldn't miss. So you're not going to do the Halacha? You sat down at this meal. This meal has triggered upon you a duty, an obligation. An obligation to recite 7 blessings. You're not allowed to leave until you hear the 7 blessings. So what do you do? So you know what you do? And some people do this. Okay, tell me, you also want to stay here the whole night? No. And you look at your table, all you guys, you're going to stick around the whole night? No. Okay, so you know what? Let's all of us bench and we'll all say the 7 blessings amongst ourselves. We'll pass around, we'll have 2 cups, we'll call the waiter, 2 cups of wine please. 1 for the benching, 1 for the Sheva Brachas, and we'll have 10 people at the table, Rabbi Sai Nivarech, will bench, and then we'll be mechabed each person at the table. And you know something? There are many Gedolei Yisrael that do just that. Because they hold, they are of the opinion that, of the opinion that eating at a meal, the su'uda is the trigger for the recital of the seven blessings. That is the trigger. And once that trigger has been pulled, you can't leave until you make those seven blessings. If you don't want to wait for the blessings to be made at the end of at 12:30 at night, so do it amongst yourselves, amongst the people at your own table. That is a chiddush, and he writes here in this wonderful sefer that this is a fact, that there are Gedolei Yisrael that actually do this. However, it's not common anymore. We don't see it being done amongst us. Why not? You'll tell ignorance. Not necessarily. Many other places can hold that it's incorrect. Incorrect. The trigger for the Sheva Brachos is not the Su'uda. It's the Birchas HaMazon. And you see, it's a little problematic because you're benching. It's not the meal that's the trigger. It's the benching. Just because you're sitting now at a meal, so what? You have to bench together. Okay, that's the key word. You have to bench together with the Chasen Kala. The benching together with the Chasen Kala is the trigger. Being that the Chasen Kala now are not benching, they're busy, and you are benching, you have no obligation. Oh, but I ate a su'uda together. The Chasen Kala and I ate a meal at the same point in time. That doesn't matter. Eating the meal at the same time with the Chasen Kala is not the trigger to demand of you to recite the seven blessings. The trigger to make you say the seven blessings is if you bench together with the Chasen and Kala. So as long as you leave, you bench before the Chasen Kala benches, you have no obligation. You're not in violation of not making the seven blessings. You wouldn't dare miss Kiddush Levana, so how dare you miss the seven blessings? Big difference. Kiddush Levana, I have an obligation. The seven blessings, I have no obligation. I only have the obligation if I bench together with the Chasen Kala. But here comes another nafkamina. And this is really true. This really is very, very important. Let's say you go to a Sheva Brachas, by a wedding, and you bench together with the Chasen Kala. You bench together. You bench. Rabbi Sain Nivarech, and you're all benching together. And then you finish the benching. Hanavarech Esamo Yisrael Bas Shalom. And now they're about to pass around the cup to six more people. To make the six blessings. And how long will it take? Okay, you, from your memory, how long does it take to go through? It takes about 5-10 minutes, depends. How much they sing, right? How much they play around. So it takes 5-10 minutes. It'll take 10 minutes. Let's say you see that you're in a more elaborate Sheva Brachas. And they're gonna sing each bracha. They're gonna do it slowly. And you get a text from your wife. You better get home now, or I'm locking the door. Okay, you get a text. So you say to yourself, uh-oh, I want to go home. I don't want to stick around and wait and watch the show. Guess what? You're not allowed to leave. You're not allowed to leave.
Guess what?
You have to ask the question. Would you miss Kiddush Levana because your wife told you better get home?
Guess what? Yes.
So you're telling me the answer is okay? No. It's the same question.
No.
Okay, so the point over here is that once a person already has benched, has been together with the Chasen Kala, the time of benching, now you are in a new league. You're not allowed to leave until you hear, there's an obligation upon you to hear those seven blessings.
It's it's a two-way street. The host has an obligation to be reasonable.
Okay, that's another. Okay, another quick question. When is the last day you can say that this is a very important yisoid, and really this really proves the point of what Sheva Brachos is all about. Sheva Brachos is, when is the last time you say Sheva Brachos? Let's say, for example, the wedding takes place, the Chos and Kala, they have the Nesuin, they make the last bracha, Ashabar Sasan V'Simcha, let's say, say Sunday night. What do you mean Sunday night? Let's say it's dark. Let's say it's in the middle of the winter. Middle of the winter. So when they get married Sunday night, they get married. Let's do the middle of the week. They make it easier. Let's say they get married Tuesday night. They get married Tuesday night, which really means it's Wednesday. Tuesday night is Wednesday. So that when is the last, is Shebrach is exactly full 7 days. So what does that mean? That means the last time you can make the brachos is going to be, they're getting married Tuesday night, which really means that it's Wednesday. They're getting married Wednesday. The last time you can make the blessings is Tuesday before sunset. Okay? Not a second after sunset. That's the last time you can make the Sheva Brachos. Now let's say a person gets married during Bein HaShemashos. This is interesting halacha. What is called Bein HaShemashos? Let's say the chuppah is very common. The chuppah starts, let's say, before sunset. But when they make the last bracha of Sheva Brachos under the chuppah, so it's between sunset and Seis HaKoychavim. What is called Seis HaKoychavim in regard to this topic? Good question. Let's say it's 41 minutes. So the question is, when is the last day we can say Sheva Brachos? Can we say Sheva Brachos? Sheva Brachos, does it mean that since we've in Bein HaShemashos, it's another day, we've already entered into the next day, and that means we have another whole day of opportunity to make Sheva Brachos, or do we say no? It ends with sunset. So the answer is, whenever you're in the middle of Bein HaShemashos, you're allowed to make Sheva Brachos, very unique halacha, exactly the same time you finished making that bracha. So in other words, if you made the last bracha under the chuppah Tuesday night, 30 minutes after sunset, the last moment you can make a Sheva Brachos will be Monday at 7:30. Because Manavshach, either Bein HaShemashos is going to be the next day or it's going to be the day before. So this is where you go exactly me'ace la'ace. If you are making the last blessing under the chuppah in between sunset and Seis HaKoychavim, a good example will be, let's say, 25 minutes. I'll be really good. 25 minutes after, in America, 25 minutes after sunset. So that means on a Tuesday evening, that means the last time you can say the brachos is 25 minutes after sunset the following Monday evening. If you were to finish earlier, then obviously you would have to finish before sunset. And if you were to go later, then you get another whole day. Then if you go into the evening, you would get another whole day. Okay, so the Zman, what determines? Now here's just a question to bring up this point. Here's a contradiction. Following contradiction. Let's say, for argument's sake, the last day of Sheva Brachos is Monday. Okay, Monday is the last day. The people got married. They got married Tuesday. They got married Monday night. Monday night at 10 o'clock at night. Seis HaKoychavim. So what does that mean? They got married Monday night at 10 o'clock. They got married and halachically on Tuesday. So the last day they can recite Sheva Brachos is Monday. So let's say sunset is 6 o'clock. So Monday at 6 o'clock, is the last moment when you can recite Sheva Brachos. So let's say the Su'uda begins 4 o'clock, and the Su'uda extends 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. Why don't we say that since the meal began on Monday, so we can recite the Sheva Brachos Tuesday Monday night, late at night? Why is this different than Shabbos? For example, if you sit down at Shalosh Su'udos, if you start your Shalosh Su'udos, let's say at 5 o'clock, the sun is shining, the sun is out there, and you have a very, very long Shalosh Su'udos, and it extends until 11 o'clock at night. When you bench 11 o'clock at night, question, do you recite Ritzeh in the Birchas HaMazon? Yes, you definitely do. That's the consensus of most Poskim. The benching is determined, the nusach of the benching is determined when the meal began. If the meal began on Shabbos, even though now on the clock Shabbos is over, the Birchas HaMazon goes back to the Zman when the meal began. And if the meal began on Shabbos, so you can say now at 11 o'clock at night, you can say Ritzeh V'Hachalitzeinu. Why don't we say the same thing when it comes to Sheva Brachos? The last day of Sheva Brachos is Monday. If you start the meal Monday and the Sheva Brachos goes into Tuesday, you should be able to recite the 7 blessings Tuesday, Monday, very late at night. And yet the halacha is, it's asur. The halacha is, it doesn't make a difference when the meal begins. The only thing that matters is the time it is right now. If right now, at this moment in time, it's past 7 days since the Chasan Kala got married, you're not allowed to say the Sheva Brachos. If it's not yet 7 days over, you are allowed. Why? The answer is obvious. Is the din of Sheva Brachos is not connected to the meal. It's a very important insight. It's not, we look at Sheva Brachos as the conclusion of a meal. No. Sheva Brachos is an independent entity. It's an independent entity that is attached to Birchas HaMazon. And even though Birchas HaMazon itself is attached to the Su'uda, the Haraya Yisei Ritzeh, it's too far removed. It's an incredible Chiddush. The Birchas HaMazon is attached to the meal. There's no such thing as having Sheva Brachos without having Birchas HaMazon. Yet, the Sheva Brachos does not go back to the meal. It only goes on the Birchas HaMazon. It almost seems like it's a contradiction. How could you separate one from the other? Yet that's the halacha. The halacha is that the Birchas HaMazon is a trigger for the blessings, but the blessings are not dependent on the meal. And that's why we explained to make the blessing, you don't even have to eat. It's not dependent on the eating. If you come just for the blessings, you can make a bracha even if you ate nothing. Because it's not dependent on the eating. It's dependent on the Birchas HaMazon. The Birchas HaMazon is a trigger. It's a trigger to make the blessings. You don't have to even participate in the Birchas HaMazon. As long as the trigger was pulled by somebody, that's enough that the Sheva Brachos must be said by somebody. But it doesn't go back. And that's why we said before, you can leave in the middle of the wedding. Don't say, because I'm now participating in a su'uda that was arranged for the chasen kala, if I'm now going to walk out before they bench, it's like I'm missing Kiddush Levana. No, you're not. Kiddush Levana you have to do. This, there's no trigger. You never were obligated to recite the 7 blessings. The only time the obligation kicks in is after Birchas HaMazon was said with the Chasen Kala. Then there's an obligation. But it's nothing to do with the meal. I'm only here for the meal. I'm not here for anything else. I don't have any obligation. Now I'll give you another nafkamina. Another nafkamina is Panim Chadoshos. Let us say there was a person who participated in the meal, but he was not around for the benching. He was at the wedding. He came to the wedding. Very common case. Person comes to the wedding. He's there, but he danced up a storm. He was dancing like no one else. He was doing all the fireworks, the juggling. He was everything. He was the photographer. He was the musician. He did the dancing. He was the Masada Kedushin even. He did everything. But he didn't stay for the benching. He didn't stay for the benching. So now he comes, he shows up Tuesday night for Shel Brachas. And guess what? They don't have Panim Chadashos. He can be the Panim Chadashos. Because he never, what I said is not, is a big machloikis. It's a machloikis of what I'm saying is true. How far, what are the parameters for panim chadashos? It's machloikis. I think Allah Almighty paskin that he can't be panim chadashos. But there is a very strong argument to be made that he can be the panim chadashos. Because the panim chadashos is going on the blessings. The blessings have to have an element of panim chadashos. Were you around for the original blessings? No. Were you even chayiv in the original blessings? No. The only time the trigger for the original blessings ever came to be is if you were there for the benching. If you were there for the benching, now there was a trigger. Oh, you're chayiv in the blessings. And you were present. Maybe you left right away, but you were present. So your presence, you already experienced an element of the Sheva Brachas. So now you can't do it again. But if you never even had the obligation to recite the Sheva Brachas because you were not present for the benching, So now, even though you were there for the rest of the wedding, so very good, you were there for the rest of the wedding, you were Mesameach Hasan Mechala. But now we want to recite blessings. And the blessings are what wants Panim Chadashos. And with regard to the blessings, you are Panim Chadashos, because you never had an obligation to recite these blessings, to hear an Amen to these blessings, because you were not even around at the time of the wedding, when they benched and the obligation came upon you. You're totally new to this. So in Ochinami, there's a argument to be made that you can indeed be the Panim Chadashos. And Mishas Hatchak, some people indeed rely upon that. Other Paiskim say, you can't just look at it like that. You have to also take into consideration the Su'uda. The Su'uda, the Simcha, did you participate, did not participate. That's why even if a person did not wash before he makes a bracha, it would be preferred that he should eat at least something. And to be Panim Chadashos, even though you were not present for the benching, if you were there. Anyway, since the whole halacha of Panim Chadashos is very, very weak, we really should not even be making the bracha altogether. Because there is no simcha b'mon b'zman hazeh. And you really need to have a significant degree of Panim Chadashos, a person that you'll be marbe, chosh of a person. So, since the whole halacha panim chadashos is so weak, it's a little bit of a stretch to be so makel and to say that since you were by the wedding, but you were not by the sheva, by the benching, you also call panim chadashos. You're really cutting a lot of corners, taking advantage of many loopholes in order to make yourself available to say seven blessings. And that's not so simple because the bracha levatola is not a simple thing. It's not a simple thing. Now, what we did not get a chance to discuss, which unfortunately I really want to discuss, and that is Shabbos. Do you need Panim Chadashos on Shabbos? Halacha l'maisa, for the first meal and the second meal, you do not. What about Sholosh Su'udos? This is a major, major machlokes. Sholosh Su'udos on Shabbos. Is the meal of the Shalosh significant enough, the Simcha significant enough, that itself is considered Panim Chadashos, and you can recite the seven blessings? Or maybe not. The third meal is not significant because you don't even need to eat the third meal. If you forget to say Ritzeh, you don't repeat the benching. So here you have over here a very unique, we're stopping in one section, over here you have over here a very unique area in halacha. And that is, there are matters in Judaism of Kabbalah. And then there are matters of halacha. And most of the time, they go together. They work together as a team. But sometimes they directly, in an open way, contradict one another in an extreme, they contradict each other in an extreme, and the question is, what do? Do you follow Kabbalah, or do you follow Halacha? Shalosh, the reason why Shalosh Su'udos in the world of Kabbalah is Olam Haba. It's the most sacred of all the meals. It's Rava D'Rava. It's beyond. It qualifies as the ultimate Panim Chadoshes in the world of Kabbalah. But in the world of Halacha, it doesn't count for anything. Because in the world of Halacha, you don't even need to eat a meal altogether. You don't even need, somehow you don't even need to eat Shalashos altogether. You can be Yoitza with Mini Targima, with Peros, with even a Shahakol, with learning. Okay, L'chadchila, we know we're very makbid. Mishnah Berurah really goes to town, it goes to bat. You have to really eat Shalashos. But the bottom line is, if you don't eat Shalashos, you're okay. If you forget to say Ritzeh during Shalosh Sudas, you don't repeat the Birchas HaMazon. So in the world of Halacha, it's not Panim Chadoshos, this meal. And therefore you need a person, you need a new person who's Choshev in order to be present, in order to upgrade it to Panim Chadoshos, to recite the seven blessings. But in the world of Kabbalah, you don't. It's the ultimate Ze'er Ampin. Okay, the Ze'er, the shine of the Panim of Hashem, the Ze'er Anpin, you say in the Askinu Sudasa, who wins? Does Kabbalah win, or does Halacha win? Okay, this is not the first time you have the Shail. You have the Shail that comes up many times, where you have Kabbalah and Halacha in a boxing match. Who wins? It's machloikas, not so simple. Different minhagim. There are different minhagim, who wins. People, what they do is the makel, and they say, if the Rav darshans, if you say Torah, chidushei Torah, so the chidushei Torah, together with everything else, puts you over the top, and you can say the seven blessings. That's a very big cool of the Olam HaSimchan, that if you just have a Shalosh Shudis, and you talk about Trump, and there's no Panim Chadoshos, then Halacha wins. You don't want to talk Dvarim B'Teilim, you want to go talk about the weather, the clothing, this and that, then Halacha wins. Halacha wins. Shalosh Su'udos does not qualify as Panim Chadoshos. But if you recite at the Su'uda Divrei Torah, that will upgrade the status of the Shalosh Su'udos to be called in the world of Kabbalah, put you over the top, and you can recite the seven blessings. That's the Minhag HaOlam. You must, if you do not have seven Panim Chadoshos for Shalosh Su'udos, and you want to recite the seven blessings, you must say a Dvar Torah. And that will put you over the top. That is the Minhag. Do you drink the cup of wine? That's another big machlokes. Do you drink the cup of wine after you finish Shalosh Shudas? Some hold you can't because, you know, like Shalosh Shudas because you didn't say Avdolah yet. Some say this is the exception. That's another machlokes in Minhagim. Do you drink the cup of wine after you bench Shalosh Shudas before Avdolah? Some do, some do not. Akolafi, Yahaminag. All right, there are more things, but we have to stop. Time is up. Thank you for listening. We went through some of the basic halachas, some of the inyan, the lamdas. I hope you gained something out of this. Have a wonderful day.
Yes, Klaus, thank you.
Good chodesh.
Good chodesh.
Now we need a Shabbat brachas to go to.
Yes, Klaus, yeah.
We need a wedding to go to. Anybody? Hint, hint.
Have a wonderful day. Be well.
Larry, let's search out for a wedding. We need a wedding to go in.
Emergency wedding. Emergency wedding. I asked someone, what if someone wants to go to there were two little talk. I said, I'm going tonight to an emergency wedding. So the guy, this is a dirty joke, Rabbi Yisai. This is a dirty joke. So he said, what do you mean emergency wedding? The Kala's pregnant.
So why is that an emergency?
You understand why?
That's not an emergency. She's gonna give birth, that's an emergency. Maybe. You should do what they do in Williamsburg. They get married after the birth.
Oh, yeah, yeah.